Feels like a damn Cowboys Monday with the vibe, the energy of Von Miller putting on the star officially, and all the Tolos that are up with us this morning. Choppy's out this week. We got Roberto on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube. Aiden Butler and Pepe running things with the Odyssey app as well.
Odyssey.
This is Sean and RJ on 105.3 The Fan. Like Tolo Eric, I'm up extra early so I can focus. I'm a junkie with this. My child could walk to school, all I care. I got radio to digest. So that's awesome, Chef Eric. You got all the other Tolos like Scott and Jay Ochoa and everyone saying good morning. The coffee, hopefully the Just Love coffee, tasting a little bit extra better this morning with Von Miller coming here on a one-year deal. And he immediately hopped on the nightcap with Shannon Sharp and Ocho Cinco, and he explained why the Cowboys, thanks to all the Tolos who sent this, by the way, Brandon Lori, always doing awesome clips as well, from Jersey, sending it to us. Why was this finally the right fit?
They were the first team to contact me like a week before training camp. It had been like some talks about like the Cowboys like throughout the whole offseason, and you know, it just seemed right for me. I live here in the off season. You know, my mom and my dad are here. My kids are here. You know, I always had a little blue on my heart since I was, you know, a little boy. And,
right.
You know, always paid attention to the Dallas Cowboys. And, you know, my earliest memory of playing football included the Dallas Cowboys. I heard my daddy screaming in the back, and I ran back there to see what was going on, and he was screaming because the Dallas Cowboys had scored a touchdown. So that's my earliest memory of playing football, and to be back, you know, here, to be back home is a dream within a dream. It's like Inception, you know, the movie with Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah,
DiCaprio,
and
my dream has always been to play in the NFL, and, you know, to play for the Dallas Cowboys is a dream within a dream.
A lot of people grew up with their dad screaming at the Cowboys, but depending on what age you are, there's a different reason for it.
Von Miller last year at the age of 36 on the Commanders, 9 sacks. The Cowboys leader last year in sacks was Jadeveon Clowney at 8.5. I'm feeling Ezeraku-ish with Bobby's hairline and saying that it's a 6-sack guarantee. And I'm just waiting for my people at Bet Online to send me the over-under to see where they're going to set. It ain't going to be as low as 6. And I feel like saying 6 may be soft. After he had 9 last year, he's also going to be excited to play with some leads here that they did not have in D.C. He explained to the fellas also how his body was feeling and also talked about being that teammate.
Man, they can say what they want to say about, you know, my on-the-field production. But there's no question about it. I am the best teammate in the history of the National Football League. When it comes to being a great teammate, I just know how to do it. I've been doing it for a long time. I know how to bring the guys together. I know how to win my guys, you know, over. You know, every team that I've ever been on is not a guy in that locker room that'll say, you know, anything bad about me. And that's what I care about. You know, the guys that I work with. And I'll be able to do that here with the Dallas Cowboys. You know, they can say what they want to say. I'm worth, you know, 10 to 13 plays a game. I can win 10 to 13 plays a game, and that's with me not even stepping on the football field.
Right.
It's just the type of knowledge of the game that I know, and to be able to get the guys to play around me to a level that they wouldn't normally play at. And that has nothing to do with the type of, you know, skill that I can bring on the football field. So being a great teammate, knowledge of the game, you know, that's 10 to 13 plays a game, and then I can still walk into 8 to 10 sacks now.
He is, since he turned 30 years old, he turned 30 years old in March of 2019. Then his seasons are 8 sacks for the Broncos. Then he missed all of 2020 with an ankle injury. 2021, he played 15 games. He had 9.5 sacks. 2022, he had 8 sacks in 11 games. 2023 is the weird outlier. He played 12 games for Buffalo. He had no sacks and no tackles for loss the entire year. And then 2024, he bounces back for 6 sacks in 13 games. And then last year was 9. So he's generally, since he turned 30, been money for 8. That he's going to get you at least 8.
When's the last time you watched the film?
Last year, before the Washington game, is when I would have peeped in on him last.
And what did you notice or remember?
Still like a professional pass rusher type of guy. It's one of those things where he's not out there just destroying the game every snap like he used to, but he is a mercenary, like you were saying last segment. Like, that is his role now, is he comes in there when somebody needs to get to the quarterback, and he does it pretty frequently.
He had a 64-4 grade on PFF. I immediately started hitting up all the contacts in D.C. And I said, how was Vaughn last year? One reporter for the Commander said he was fine, 9.5 sacks, something like that. I would say during the meaningful parts of the season, he was kind of empty. I mean, to be fair, Chris, you guys didn't have any meaningful parts of the season. Y'all sucked. And then I said, all right, strictly pass rush situations, and how is he against the run? He said mostly pass rush, but when they lost Dorrance in the Dallas game, he had to play more. What is he against the run? Is this going to be straight? And when he was saying 13 plays, he was talking about winning 13 plays or repping 13 plays?
I think he's saying he can walk into a building right now and play 13 reps is what he was saying. And like, hey, I'm good for that now. And that's before I've ramped up or done anything else. And so against the run, he's fine. I mean, there are times where he's a little bit more like washed out of the play than he used to be.
It has always amazed me. And I think Micah has been the 2.0 part of this. It's always amazed me, even going back last night and watching Vaughn's highlights from last season, how he has gotten all this done with a locked, absolute certain 1000% Hall of Fame career, and he just looks undersized doing it.
Yeah.
Like, Micah may even look a tad bigger than him. And it's like, I always wonder this in the Bronco days. How is he pushing around these 300-pound tackles? How is he showing this brute force and strength? Because he just looks undersized. He always has.
Yeah, he was a I mean he plays with a lot of speed to power. That's a big thing for him. But he is he's essentially the exact same size as Araku. Which Azaraku obviously looks a little undersized to us, but if you're trying to think of like context for how big he is, I think he's, I was looking at it a few minutes ago, I think Azaraku is 6'2.5" when he was coming out, and Vaughn was 6'2 5/8", and then there's 2 pounds of difference between them. Vaughn was 246 and Azaraku is 248, so that's similar kind of build. Vaughn was a really good run defender early in his career. It's just the older he's gotten and the more he's used to kind of just pin his ears back and go, he's become a little bit more of a guy who you can wash out of a play, but not a black hole.
Pepe, what are the Tolos saying on the Frank LaFranco fan text?
A lot of S-words, Sean. Not the one that Bobby uses in Oxnard, but Super Bowl bound, 469-214, all saying Super Bowl bound, Dallas Cowboys, 817, 9 sacks and a leader. I'm stoked, best rusher on the team. 254, a little negative. This is a waste of money for Dallas. Explain this, please. 956 is Max Crosby out of the play for now.
Good questions. I'll start off with the whole waste of money. Explain this. He's automatically your best pass rusher.
How much money is a waste of money? Like before we even know what it is. What's a waste of money? That again just sounds like you kind of want to be miserable.
Well, what would you? All right, where would you feel uneasy with? If it was 10, I'd feel a little bit uneasy.
I might, but at the same time, that's only if it's going to block something financially that they would have used that money for. Otherwise, they're into the season. If the money's the money, like they're just using up whatever resources they have.
I'm a little bit more double-sided about it than Bobby. Like, it's like Redbeard sent a message and said, do you think this is a sign the Cowboys are more worried about the meat of their defense? To me, and I was going to ask you this, Bobby, did something happen in the game the other night that pushed them over the edge with this? Vaughn said they were the first team to contact me. Again, we were told in Oxnard before the Seahawk game that they were talking, but this does make me worry a little bit more about Donovan Azaraku. It does make me worry a little bit more about Malachi Lawrence. Early to do that, but we're getting a star up, star down from the other night. I feel like the Cowboys are sitting up in that podium that I've been in, by the way, snuck in, by the way, and said, We need pass rushing help. And I felt that before the season. I think a lot of people felt that before the season. So that's why I say this is also an indictment. It is not a great thing. It's not a great thing when your best pass rusher is in there for spot duty and he's close to 40. But it's a positive signing. I'm excited about it. I'm optimistic about it. And I think that this is 7 sacks as a floor for him, but I do worry at some point in time in the season we're saying, all right, it's not enough pass rush, especially when Vaughn starts to get worn down at the midway point or after.
Yeah, I think that there's definitely, it's a level of concern. Like, they don't just get Von Miller just because, and the fact that somebody can walk off the field or walk off the street and be your best pass rusher is a bad sign, typically. I don't think that means he's going to be their best player. like at the position. I think Rashawn Gary's the best player. He's just not the best pure pass rusher.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you look at it and say he's somebody who I think they got to Oxnard. The Cowboys have a long history of doing this. They get to training camp. They have a sense of how they feel about something. And then they let themselves see a couple practices and then they determine, all right, we need to change this. We need to do this different. You can go back through the history. Malik Hooker was signed this way. Anthony Barr was signed this way. Jadeveon Clowney was signed this way. Clowney got a little bit further into the process, obviously. But no, I think Von Miller is less about Seattle, more about just what they've seen in Oxnard from the pass rushers, which is like they just don't think there's enough juice.
Yeah.
It's not any sort of like a, man, if we feel like we're just not capable, because like he said, they reached out to him about a week before training camp, and then they've let the practices play out, kind of gotten a sense of it, and went, okay, let's go ahead and make the move. But man, it's hard to say that right now, and they've clearly not felt great about their pass rush group, because they tried to acquire Crosby, they got Gary, they drafted somebody in the first round. Like, there's clearly something they're trying to fix there, but it's hard to look at it and say that whatever money they spent would be wasteful on making, like, getting the guy who would be the best pass rusher in their group.
I'm trying to emotionally divorce myself yet again with the relationship that has never come to fruition with Max Crosby. That feels like another Von Miller type cowboy union that needs to happen. Throw that into the collection and the mix. What do you say to the Tolo who goes, all right, does that end any Max thoughts or dream?
No, I don't think this would prevent them from getting Max if they wanted to go get Max. It's just it's a fact that right now I don't think there's anybody looking to get a deal done. Like, I don't think the Raiders are moving him right now. I think a lot of teams want to just kind of see how things shake out before they make a move. So right now Dallas needs somebody still.
The response to this next story and rumor is diametrically opposed to the Von Miller reaction. Jeremy Fowler, friend of the show, says, in addition to Von, the Cowboys have explored cornerback help via free agency. One name to watch is Adoree Jackson, who was with Christian Parker in Philadelphia. Jackson has interest from a few teams, though. And a lot of responses that I saw were like, hell no, absolutely not. No to Adoree Jackson. Don't ruin my Von Miller buzz.
Yeah, Adoree Jackson would make me much more concerned about the corner room.
Like, is this the one that we said were already being done for?
That was the line you heard when he came in for a visit was just to kind of get him on the waiver wire or get a visit out there. He's somebody who, if he's being brought in here to do anything else other than just be depth, like he would be brought in here to take snaps, that would be concerning to me about the corner room, especially given how...
Like maybe a Kalen Carson replacement. That level.
Yeah, I mean, in theory, I think that...
We ain't talking about over Revel or Durant.
I cannot imagine. Downs is one of your top four corners right now. Downs, Durant, Revel, Bland. If you're telling me like you need him to come in here and take snaps of any amount, then that's concerning to me because that means there's something really wrong.
Which you don't think.
I don't think
is
that's what it
is.
If they brought him in here, I would assume it's just he's here as a depth piece in case somebody gets hurt. But if they're talking about he'd be here to get reps, that'd be concerning.
We're excited. We're positive. We're happy. And now we'll go totally opposite of that to talk about what the Texas Rangers did over the weekend. Next on DFW Sports Station, 105.3 The Fan.
In shows to come as we continue here on your home of the Cowboys reacting to Cowboys Seahawks preseason game one Saturday night. And the Von Miller signing and so much more. And of course, now we have a joint practice Cowboys Saints tomorrow to look forward to. And joining us now to talk more about these things is Nick Harris, Fort Worth Star-Telegram here in the nation. And a good afternoon, sir. How the heck are you?
I'm doing fantastic, fellas. I'm sitting in y'all's very lonely tent here in Oxnard that has been vacated, but I am still representing, holding it down.
Hey, you can treat that thing like it's yours, you know, for as long as you need it, my man. Appreciate you joining us as always.
Can you still smell some of Dawson's remnants back there? It was getting away from him for a while.
I will say the little baseball beanbag that I was throwing around during the segment is still in here. So it's a little bit of home for me.
Let's go.
It's good to know. Now, what was your reaction? How do you grade the Von Miller signing?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's bringing in not only a veteran with eight-time Pro Bowl experience, but it's also a mentor in that room. You know, you see what he did last year in Washington, playing 37% of the snaps, generated the nine sacks. And that's a guy who's just going to be your designated pass rusher on late downs, a really reliable, trusted guy. As long as he can stay healthy through 17 games, I view this very similarly to when the Cowboys signed Clowney last year. Now, I say that with saying that Clowney also exceeded expectations. But if we are comparing the expectations now versus when Clowney was signed all the way back in week three, then I would say that it's right on par with that.
Who do you think the player or players are that will be cut as a result? Is this Leafau and Sam Williams nervous day?
Yeah, probably so. I think maybe only one spot, if any, remains for those two guys. And I tweeted it out earlier. I think the Cowboys are probably going to have to get willing to part with a former day two pick. In one of those guys. And, you know, if we're comparing both of their performances and, over the course of this last month, I would say they're kind of on par with each other. Leafau has maybe shown a little bit more consistency, but he's also dealing with a position change. And there's some, fluidity that comes along with that. But yeah, that's going to be a camp battle I have my eyes on for the rest of camp.
Is this a very much so a designated pass rusher role for him? Is this like a 10 snaps a game kind of thing, situational for Miller?
Yeah, I wouldn't necessarily say 10 snaps, but I would say that, yeah, it's going to be late downs. He'll rotate in. Think about when Dante Fowler was getting rotated in back in 2023 in his first stint with the Cowboys, and how he would always have fresh legs and just be asked to pin his ears back and go get the quarterback. That's kind of how I view this, and it was how he was used in Washington last year. It makes sense for it to be his usage here in Dallas, but a natural scheme fit. He has succeeded in this scheme throughout his career. I think he's better from a stand-up pass rusher type role anyway. It makes sense for both parties involved here.
Nick, if I gave you an opportunity to give him the same amount of snaps as James Houston, who do you think would have more sacks?
It's funny because I was doing a kind of a study yesterday because Von Miller only played the 37% of snaps last season. I was doing a study on what was the NFL leaders in sacks per snap played. And number 9 was Von Miller. You know who number 8 was?
Who is that?
James Houston. It was like by a decimal point.
Yeah.
So I think they have kind of found, guys who have, similar usage. So I guess the numbers would tell me James Houston. That's what I'll go with, Brian.
Well, no, I appreciate you doing the thing because I kind of feel like, though, that if you did give, and we've seen this with James Houston before, we've seen him, and if you're talking about bringing in a guy as mentorship and all that stuff like that, I don't think he's the same player at all. Von Miller. I just don't. And so to me, if it was to say, if they were to sacrifice James Houston and it comes down to it like, well, we got similar players here, Von Miller and James Houston, I would think then this would be a terrible signing that way. I'm not a big fan of the signing to begin with because I think it's going to cost them. I think it's going to cost them in a way that maybe there's somebody that might get released that actually could help this team.
It depends on how you feel about Maris Leafau or Sam Williams. Do you feel like one of them should get a roster spot?
No, I don't. But like someone like, say, maybe James Houston is not going to be active every week. Maybe there's somebody that's not going to be in the lineup that can, finish plays. Listen, 9 sacks and all that, I get it. I'd like folks to go through and look at the sacks. I think a lot of people are going to go do that and find out. I just think overall when you watch him play, he's just not the same player, and he's not the same player when it comes to rushing the passer with explosiveness and getting off the football and bending the corner and all those things. So it's, to me, I don't see a lot of it's like a little bit of redundancy if you've already got James Houston. Play James Houston more. James Houston would probably would just get, his sack numbers and tackles for losses and all that would probably be more than what he's getting right now. But every time they give him an opportunity, he seems to go out and make plays. And I worry about that now.
Yeah, maybe late in the season, they saw some, situations where James Houston was not as productive because, he came out early with those 4.5 sacks. In the first 10 games or so, and then he wasn't able to really find that production late in the year. So maybe this is a situation where they're able to keep James Houston's legs a bit fresher as the season goes on. Then the guy that I first pointed to, and I was talking about it with a couple of guys on the beat, is like, okay, how does this affect Malachi Lawrence's snap count?
He played well the other day for you. I'm not trying to get in his way if I can.
Yeah, and so, like, what does that look like at the end of the day as far as his snaps go? Is he going to be the fourth option at outside linebacker, the fifth? I don't know. And so I think that's something that they're going to have to figure out for the rest of camp as well.
Nick Harris, Star Telegram, here with you on The Fan. Seems like the culture stuff, Von Miller, is a no doubt about Hall of Fame guy when it comes to that kind of stuff.
I mean, yeah, I think he's going to be a mentor for these guys in the room at the very least. You know, he's seen a lot. He's played in some different organizations, and it's going to give him experience that'll help guys like Donovan Azaraku, Malachi Lawrence, even a guy like James Houston. So, you know, at the very least, you're going to bring that experience into the room at 37 years old. And, you know, if he's not able to produce on the field, then you at least get that on the back end.
How much better is Joe Milton than he was last year?
Yeah, I think you've seen mass improvements in his footwork, and that's certainly helped his throwing mechanics. Put out some things on Twitter last night, just kind of highlighting how the footwork has changed for him. Sort of big intention of not only Brian Schottenheimer, but quarterbacks coach Steve Shimko, and just having his mechanics start from the ground up. And, you know, there were some throws that he tried to make last year in the preseason that he was able to make on Saturday night in Seattle. And so I think that's a big difference in where his progression has come. But, you know, not to discount Sam Howell, I thought he did his job on Saturday night, despite not having as good of protection as maybe Milton had in the second half. And so I think this is a pretty – if you're the Cowboys, you have to be pretty happy with where this battle is right now coming out of one preseason game, because I think both guys, you know, did their job, passed their test, and now they have two more weeks to try to figure it out.
Malik Davis, RB2?
Man, if you're asking him, yes, right? He's Mr. Undeniable.
Oh, we lost Nick Harris here. I think that was maybe a Bluetooth situation, maybe a drop call situation.
Jaden Blue or Phil Moffa.
Oh, he's back. Look at that. I thought it was terminal, Nick. Go ahead.
Yeah, not sure what happened. Yeah, he's Mr. Undeniable, right? Malik Davis. And even though, again, it's kind of the situation that Milton dealt with as well, even though, you know, Jaden Blue and Phil Moffa maybe didn't get as good of protection as Malik Davis got in the second half, Davis got opportunities and he succeeded with them. And that's all you can do if you're a guy like Malik Davis. But I continue to feel like if Jaden Blue and or Phil Moffa do not earn trust from the coaching staff for the rest of camp, I feel like there's probably an outside acquisition on the table. And, you know, that's not to discount what Malik Davis has done. It's just that they are trying to get younger behind Javonte Williams. They have a 3-year contract that they need to make sure that he lives through. And you only do that by taking, you know, a complimentary back behind him and offsetting some of those touches that he got last season, because he can't take on 283 touches or whatever it was that he did a year ago. He can't do that three more seasons. And we saw that toward the end of the year last year. His shoulder started to wear down on him, and he powered down a little bit. So if you can get that number to around 230, then I think you're in a healthy spot.
Nick, you mentioned about Blue and Moffa. That's the first time I've heard somebody put them together. Is it that way now? It used to be kind of like, yeah, we'll see what happens with Blue, but you've just added Moffa to the group. So you're saying both these guys need to step up then, right?
Yeah, I would say so. And it's because both of them have gotten the best opportunity here at camp with the ones and with the twos to get these reps and try to succeed with them. You know, Phil Moffa's going to have the chest injury. It doesn't sound like it's going to be too serious. He should play this weekend. But, you know, overall, he's got to bounce back too. And so does Jaden Blue. And whether you have running lanes in front of you or not, you got to be able to make something shake and give the coaching staff some positivity and trust.
Nick, in general, preseason work, second and third stringers, what's that tell you, if anything, about the way the regular season might go?
I would say, at least if I'm pulling anything from Saturday night, I would say how things worked from an operational standpoint on the defensive side of the ball. I think there's some positives to glean from that. You know, Christian Parker was dealing with multiple different green dots in that game. Justin Barron had to come out for a concussion protocol evaluation at one point, so he had to quickly rotate Langston Patterson in there. And so they were dealing with some rotating bodies there in the middle, and things were seamless. You know, they gave up the opening drive touchdown and then nothing after that. And I think that should be encouraging, even if it is second and third stringers. You know, you have a first-time coordinator, first-time play caller, and for him to be able to juggle those things in a preseason game, I think that shows what he's ready for when the regular season comes around. That's the biggest thing I was able to pull from, I guess, you know, it still only being a preseason exhibition. I still think that's something major you can pull out of it.
It's kind of disappointed Justin Barron didn't have multiple picks for us.
Yeah, right. But I will say the stop he had where he flew to the sideline and knocked the ball carrier out of bounds. You saw the athleticism on display, and so he's fighting to make this roster. And you know, based on conversations I had, he has a good chance of making it as long as he continues to stay consistent.
Nick, when you went back and watched the game and or you know watching it live, were you impressed with what Dallas was able to do at the defensive tackle spot? That the pressures that guys like Dunn and Gilliam and those guys were able to kind of generate in this in that contest?
You know, I will say no, only because we've seen that here in camp.
Sure.
But I didn't know if that was a product of the depth of the offensive line being so bad or if it was the defensive tackles playing well. I think what we learned on Saturday night, it's probably a combination of both things. I think both things are kind of true. We've seen Tommy Dunn and DJ Withers really ball out here at camp. Kelvin Gilliam has had a couple of moments as well. And then that showed up on Saturday night, and not necessarily to my surprise, because I was like, all right, you know, they do have some talent in there and the depth of that room. But it's going to be tough to try to crack a roster spot for one of those guys. But they are fighting for a practice squad spot. And, you know, I think there's going to be one or two that crack it from that group.
My apologies if you've answered this question. I'm just thinking about it, though. Any update on Barham? You know, I'm talking to people that believe that, like, when they play the Giants opening day, that he's going to be the starting Mike linebacker for this team. Any update on him?
So he should be ready to go this week as far as practicing you get him back on the field for the preseason game in Arizona on Saturday. So that should be good after missing the game in Seattle with that groin. But yeah, there, I mean, there, you talk to anybody around here and there's confidence around Barham and what he's done early on. As far as being the starting Mike, you know, he's going to have to hit the ground running once again when he comes out of this, injury tent, if you will. But if he does so, I don't see a scenario why he can't have a big role on this defense.
How about some of the young guys like the Julius Wood at safety and, of course, Camden Brown, who was the star of the show? Those two guys, are they? Do you consider them locks now, or is this still something that they're going to be in a dogfight to the end?
Yeah, they're going to have to continue the fight. I think Brown is in the better position just because I think the roster numbers probably favor him a bit more than Wood. Not to say that Wood doesn't have a shot too, though. I mean, the stop that Julius Wood had in on the goal line there in the fourth quarter whenever Trayshon Holden had the muffed punt and Seattle was set up with an opportunity there inside the five, you know, that was a big play, and that was a big reason why they were able to get off the field without giving up any points. So Julius Wood has certainly had his moments, but Camden Brown, I think if you look at it, he not only has support from the front office, but he has support from his quarterback, and I think that's going to be big too when we're determining how these wide receiver numbers shake out. But also, he has special teams experience. You know, that was the big thing with Trayshon Holden last year. Like, yes, you know, he's been good in the receiving game, but he doesn't have a lot of special teams knacks. Whereas Camden Brown this time around, he does, and he did that at Auburn for 3 years while he was buried on the depth chart in the SEC. So, yeah, I think Camden Brown's in a pretty good spot. Julius Wood, as long as he stays consistent, I think he can fight for one of those final spots when it comes to cutting down day.
Yeah, I was going to ask you this, though, Nick. If you had to pick between Julius Wood and Elijah Clark, who do you get to pick? You can only pick one.
Oh, man, that's tough. You know what? I'll take Wood just because he's had the production here at camp. I think there is a case to be made for Clark just because he has the NFL experience and he played in some games last year. But, you know, Wood, he's been consistent out here every single day.
Do you worry about a little bit that, like, Wood might be like some of the guys you have and you don't have a true free safety because Thompson seems to be hurt all the time now?
I can make the same case for Clark. But, yeah, I see where you're going with that as far as, you know, a guy that can really man the one high
sure.
responsibilities.
Sure.
But, yeah, I kind of see the same thing with Clark if you're debating between those two guys as well as Marquise Bell.
I was impressed with Michael Trigg's 4 catches. Is he going to put some pressure on Scooney for tight end 3?
I don't think it'll go that far, but if they decide to take 4 tight ends, then Trigg obviously is in the driver's seat there. That's just going to be the big question, because if you take 4 tight ends, where do you pull the other spot from? Is it receiver? Is it offensive line? And I don't think you're in a position to do anything in the trenches as far as take a number away. But I will remind everybody, there is going to be an extra spot this year by way of the C.J. Goodwin rule. So where do they use that extra spot, I think, is to be determined. I don't think it's going to be a primarily special teams guy like they've used in the past for Goodwin. It could end up being a guy like Marquise Bell, but you know, that extra spot, they're going to have some different position groups to toy with as far as where they use that.
Do you like to do roster projections?
Say that one more time.
Do you like to do roster projections?
Yeah, after camp, and I'm excited to do so. I think it's going to be fun whenever we look at this 91-man roster and try to whittle it down to 53. There's going to be some fun decisions that are going to be made.
When you talk about the running back and if they're not comfortable with the guys behind Williams, is that something they would just look for a guy who was cut on another roster? Or do you think they would actually maybe try and swing a trade?
I think it would probably be more so looking at the trade market and monitoring what's going on there. I mean, they have been monitoring the trade market. So as far as, you know, having a RB2 that they feel comfortable with, I don't think you're going to find that on the waiver wire.
What are you hoping to see tomorrow from the starters?
Just consistency. And specifically on the offensive side, try to do a little bit more than what they did against the Rams, specifically in the 2-minute work. There's still some pretty talented pass rushers over there in New Orleans. So, how does Terrence Steele and Tyler Guyton respond? Steele didn't have the best day against the Rams last week. Guyton, can he stay consistent? Those are going to be some big things. And then on the defensive side, I think they have a better opportunity, obviously, against the Saints than they did against the Rams last week. So, can they clearly win the day? I think last week it was pretty even, but can the defensive side clearly win the day against the Saints and the young quarterback? That'll be something I'm looking for sure.
I love it, Nick. Fantastic job as always. We look forward to catching up with you soon. Enjoy the rest of your time out there.
Thanks, guys. Y'all have a good one.
Nick Harris, Star Telegram, here with you in the G-Bag Nation. Time to hit the C note. Is it time now to forget about the Cowboys trading for that superstar? We'll do that and more coming up next in the Nation.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan right now. Brought to you by your North Texas Ford dealers. Ford is the best in Texas. And Specs, how about them savings from Specs? Proud partner of the Dallas Cowboys. It is time to chat with our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola. Howdy, sir.
How are you guys this fine week?
We are doing well because... How long has it been
since you could say we're going to the Super Bowl after the first preseason game?
Oh my gosh, Mickey. Or how long has it been since you felt like you could look at the twos and threes of a good team and be like, the Cowboys are better?
I actually went back and looked at it. I think it was the first time in 7 years they won a first preseason game.
I think it might have even been nine.
And, well, there was one in there. There was no game.
Oh, yeah, I get what you're saying.
Right.
Gotcha.
And I was like, all right, my seconds and thirds are better than your seconds and thirds, right?
Mm. Exactly. And can you tell everybody, maybe they figured it out, maybe they didn't. Why is that so important?
Well, I think that just to get off to a good start, when they lose all those games, you sit there and you minimize it and say, oh, well, I mean... what's the meaning? We lost a preseason game. Well, I think that, coaches will tell you anytime you play something, you want to win. Doesn't matter the level of talent you have on the field, you would like to win. And so I thought that that was encouraging that they were able to go up there, play against other teams of the same ilk, meaning the talent, and come out with a 17-7 win. So, yeah, I thought it was encouraging, but in the long run, I'm not sure what it all means because I always go back to 89 when the Cowboys finished, 3-1 in preseason, and they won the last game on a walk-off field goal, and everybody went running off the field, both arms in the air, like, all right, here we go, and then they got beat 28-0 by the Saints in the opener.
So you do not want to engage in our conversation about would the parade be in Frisco or Arlington?
Right, yes. I'll
just kidding.
You're gonna I'll abstain for now. Okay?
You're going to wait till the third preseason game?
I got
gotcha.
You. That's fair. Yeah. That's smart. That really is smart. Hey, is it – I know we're having some fun with that, but is it fair to say that not only is Camden Brown not necessarily just fighting for a roster spot, it feels like he controls his own destiny for the roster at this point.
Oh, I absolutely agree with you. The fact that, we saw similar here in training camp to the point where, he'd been asked to do interviews. I know I had, it might have been losing track of time, a week and a half ago, he was doing something with Nate Newton, and then when he finished, it was just me and him talking, and very interesting guy, very sharp, and then he goes and kind of continues to play well, and then you see what he did in the game with the fact that he catches three passes, 62 yards, two of them for somewhat spectacular touchdowns.
Oh, yeah. I would agree.
Because
completely.
The first one should have been interference. I don't know how the guy ate his flag on that one after calling those little hands things on Kalen Carson. And I would say if we were sitting here going, all right, who's the fifth receiver? I think he's got both hands up in the air, and now it's like, can someone force a sixth one? Because I just don't think you can sneak that guy through waivers to get him on the practice squad at this point.
You mentioned Kalen Carson. It did feel like it was a rough first drive for him.
Yeah. And then, you know, and I also thought it was a rough first drive for the officiating, too. It was like, come on, what are we doing? And it's a preseason game. He put the hands on the guy's chest. It's not like he yanked him down or anything. And then they let that go in the end zone with Cam Brown, where the guy mugged him, and he was able to still come down with the catch. But the second one, the one-handed, left-handed, right, that was amazing. And let's give Joe Milton credit for throwing a pretty nice fade pass,
right,
too. And I thought, so it might have been third quarter, he threw it was during his touchdown drive, I believe. He threw that kind of medium depth crossing pattern for 23 yards and a first down. It was third and whatever.
Was that to Smith or Trigg?
Yeah, it was Smith.
Okay,
it was
right.
Smith. You're right. And the pressure was coming on both sides, and he stayed in the pocket to throw the football instead of taking off and running at the first sign of danger, and he threw a laser across the middle and led the guy, right? I called it the best pass he's thrown in training camp, and it might have been his best performance for the gal. Now, I don't know that this solidifies anything because you got to see more. Can you do it again? But at least he wasn't pulling the ball down and running all the time. I would rather him throw an interception, especially in practices, than to pull the ball down and run. Find out what you can fit in and what you can't. But if you just pull the ball down and run all the time, you're not getting anywhere and you're not earning a job.
Yeah, we already know what you can do there. That's
right.
The other stuff we need to see from you at this point.
So that was good on him, and Sam Howell was efficient the first half and led him to two scoring drives and had a couple of nice heady plays. And conversely, the one that he ran that time, the blitz was coming from the left side. He wasn't going to have time for anything because they overloaded it, and they couldn't pick it up. And so he took off running to the right, and he got a first down. It was smart because it was clear sailing on the right side, and if he hung in there, it was either a sack. It was going to be a sack, right? So good on him, including the fact that both guys finished with 118 quarterback ratings. I don't know if I've seen that in a first preseason game from the backup quarterbacks.
It's like Ford versus Ferrari, Kevin. All three Fords crossing the finish line at the exact same time.
That's fine. I need one of them to elevate far and above the other ones, so we only have to carry two quarterbacks, Mickey. That is my focus of the preseason.
No, and that's a good point. And the guy that doesn't, you hope he doesn't. It's not like a dead heat, because then you might not be able to get him on the practice squad to get him through waivers.
Yeah. I'm kind of curious your thoughts on how the offensive line performed, because there were some spots that were, I mean, even Shoddy said a little leaky here and there.
Oh, quite leaky.
Yeah.
I thought the third line performed better than the second line. Now, you would have to go back and see who they were up against, right? But it was Seattle backups, you know, and I on my little flip card here, I marked out the guys that were on the third line when you know, they were kind of controlling the game. I thought the second line kind of struggled. Nate Thomas didn't do himself any favors in
that feels
game.
Like that's been the story of camp, doesn't it?
I know, and I'm not sure what's going on with him, or, you know, it's like he doesn't finish blocks. He sets up, and it looks like, okay, you got it, and then he falls off, and I've seen it happen too many times. And, you know, at one point when they were out there, maybe in the second quarter, they subbed him out. It wasn't like the whole line subbed out. They subbed him out. And so, you know, he better get going. Otherwise, I don't know who the backup swing tackle is or if he's on this roster right now.
That's going to be tough.
Because would you not go with Shelton this early?
I think that might be somewhat of a reach to a fourth-round draft choice and say, okay, you know enough that you can either play right side or left side, right?
Yeah.
That might be a reach. So I think you would have to keep your eye. I said that. Who was I talking to? It was Isaiah. I said, well, you're going to have to look and see what's out there in free agency. And he goes, there's not enough tackles to go around yeah. on every team. There's not going to be one sitting there just for you, right?
Yeah.
And I said, good point. Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, but based on that, then, did you feel like you got a fair enough look at the running backs in this type of situation?
Not initially. There was nowhere to go for Jaden Blue. There was just no running room whatsoever. And I think that's what made me think, well, the third line, at least it looked like they were opening up some holes for Malik Davis and Izzy. But that first half, it was hard running. I think Schottenheimer said it at halftime, right? He goes, you know, we got to do a better job controlling the line of scrimmage. And he was exactly right, especially in the running game. And he actually pointed it out that it was somewhat unfair because there was nothing there early running the football.
And I promise I am keeping that in mind. This is partially based on, you know, thoughts about training camp and stuff. Is there any way you could envision a world in which Izzy makes this roster and Jaden Blue does not?
I do not.
Darn.
Oh, wow.
That's not a shot against Jaden Blue.
You're showing your favoritism, Kevin.
I am. I will admit, I appreciate, much like, he reminds me of Camden Brown in terms of they came to camp, probably isn't room for them, but by God, if they're not going to force their way on this roster, and maybe Izzy will come up short, but I just appreciate that level of, you know, stick-to-itiveness and heart and everything like that to try to make the roster when it looks like you're just here to be a body, you know?
No, I understand what you're saying, but sometimes when you're the second running back or a third running back, you got to have a dimension that nobody else has.
Right.
And, you know, Izzy is a nice running back, but how much difference is there between him and, say, Malik Davis? They're right. Kind of the same guy, right? But Blue actually gives you a dimension that you can take advantage of. Not that you're going to hand him the ball 10 times a game, right? But you might throw it to him. You might do a sweep around with him. And from a special team standpoint, he gives you a dimension that nobody else on this team has. That speed is serious, and you've got to keep working with it and try to take advantage of it. That's what separates him for me. Not the fact that he was a fourth-round draft choice.
Right, I hear
just
you.
The fact he has that dimension.
That was that one play. He got a little screen to the arrow, one off in the flats. It was a screen because he had an offensive lineman out in front of him, but they weren't as fast as him. And I don't know if that comes down to being patient behind your blockers or just going ahead and taking advantage of that. But I thought that could have been a little bit bigger play if his offensive lineman ran 4.3s.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. but again, you know, for him right now, it's just being assignment sound. Make sure he knows who he has to pick up if there's a blitz and he has to stay in first to block, and just know what he's doing. And then I think you go from there and just do everything you can to take advantage of that speed that is different from anybody else on the team, right? And what happens, defenses get used to Javonte Williams, the pace and everything, and then all of a sudden you throw some lightning in there, and it's like, ooh, I thought I had the angle on that guy, and I guess I didn't, right? And that dimension of speed can make a huge difference.
Yeah, I acknowledge and appreciate, and I feel the same way, that this preseason game was obviously a positive thing, absolutely. Special teams continue to befuddle, and it feels like Trayshawn Holden did not help with that whatsoever.
I gave him an E6.
I agree. And like, gosh.
And look, once you're fumbling around with it, now you just got to fall
on it,
right? Yeah. Well, and it wasn't only that; it was the penalties they had on special teams.
Yeah. And still, where to
and
field
that was
punts.
Continuation from last year,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, I'm with you. I still get frustrated too sometimes. I wonder about where we field some of these punts. I'm like, you're going to try to field a punt inside the five? What are we doing?
Yeah, your awareness needs to be higher there.
I understand.
And you know what happens in these games? The guy looks at it and goes, okay, here's my opportunity to show something. I'm not calling a fair catch. And because he had the one, it was a decent punt return, wasn't it? He had one, came up the left sideline. But yeah, you gotta either let that bounce into the end zone or just call a fair catch and live to fight another down, right?
And then Mickey, before we let you go, there was one other small roster move. The Cowboys,
just a little one.
They added Von Miller.
I don't know if you heard about
this. We didn't
want
to let you go
not.
Before we asked your thoughts on him.
You know, I think that a 1 year deal. It'll be nice to see what the money is.
Oh yeah, we know that. Would you like us to tell you?
Yeah.
It's 1 year, 5.5, with escalators that could take it up to 7.5.
So it'll come down to number of sacks, probably.
Probably. Right? I would be willing to bet.
Although, if you put an incentive in there, and it's something he accomplished the year before, that counts against the cap.
You know, I only learned that, I think, maybe last year when, like, the NFL defined likely incentives. Mm-hmm. I just thought that was a really interesting clause in there.
Yeah, and if it's an incentive that you didn't accomplish the year before, then it's and the guy gets it, then it's payable the next season, right?
Yeah.
But if you've done that before, then it counts immediately. So it'll be interesting to see how the thing's structured. But look, he's going to be a designated pass rusher, right?
Right.
Maybe he plays 17, 20 snaps a game, something like that. You're going to wear him out. And it adds to the pass rush. And it's also another addition, and we're going to have to put a scorecard together of what the Cowboys accomplished by trading Micah Parsons.
Yeah,
and they got about four parts, I would say off the top of my head, instead of just one guy for the money they were going to have to pay him.
Yeah, that is an interesting point as well. Thank you very much, good sir. We'll catch you again tomorrow.
I'll be here. See you guys.